big breaking story with 7-Eleven, and the man that is best to explain it is Ben Butler. He's business reporter with the Australian newspaper, and he's been, well, working on the story. Welcome.
Good evening.
What's happened?
Alan Fells, the former head of the ACCC, who's been overseeing a wage panel to recover unpaid wages at 7-Eleven, which, as you would know, has been in the middle of a really big, bad scandal about underpaying people in the stores, has been sacked, he says. The company says he and David Cousins, who's the other member of the panel, agreed to move on. I spoke to Alan Fells a short time ago, and he told me that's completely false, and that he was terminated. I then spoke to the chief executive of 7-Eleven, who really couldn't quite be pinned down on what exactly had happened, but did confirm that he did tell the two of them that their services were no longer required.
So they initially, 7-Eleven, tried to brief out a story that it was sort of a mutual agreement.
Correct. So 7-Eleven, in a press release earlier this afternoon, said that the panel had agreed to transfer the cases. There's about 2,000 in progress at the moment, over to an internal process within 7-Eleven, reporting to the chief executive, Angus McKay. And Alan Fells is adamant that that's not so. If listeners have Twitter, AFells1 is his handle, and you'll see a stream of tweets. He joined about half an hour ago and has been tweeting up a storm on this topic.
What? He what? He joined?
About half an hour ago.
He joined Twitter?
About half an hour ago.
Oh, yeah. So he could start tweeting.
Correct. Yeah.
About how we've been sacked.
Correct.
This is fantastic.
It's amazing, isn't it? He's got a more complete statement of his position up there on Twitter.
Which I've just retweeted. I'm the second person to do it.
And he's not happy. He feels really let down by 7-Eleven. He feels that the main motivation for the company is that it will save money by not paying out the claims. The quantum of this claim is potentially very, very large. He told me earlier today that he paid out already or approved payments of about $14 million, and that there are another 2,000 in process, which mathematically works out at a total quantum of about $84, $85 million, possibly more, possibly less, but on the back of an envelope. And he's not confident in 7-Eleven's internal procedures. He's worried that confidential information given to the panel by claimants will make its way into the hands of franchisees who might intimidate or bully workers who have a claim for underpayment. And it's all a bit of a train wreck, actually.
A train wreck, absolutely. Well, Alan Fells will be speaking to Lee Sales on ABC's 7:30 program, we've just found out. So there you go, in about half an hour after you finish listening to RN Drive, let me be very clear.
Don't turn over until
then. You can listen to 7:30 and hear him, you know, not just his tweets, but actually his words. I just want to turn to the Panama Papers. Now, that leak generated so much data that journalists all over the world have been poring over. You weren't part of the initial investigation, but you were given access to all this data yesterday.
Along with the rest of the world. It went up online at about 4 a.m. Tuesday morning.
So where did you start, 4 a.m?
I did not. Well, I confess I did not start exactly at 4 a.m, but as I was having a cup of coffee at about 8 a.m, I was starting to have a look through. There is a vast, vast quantity of information, and I think you can see from the stories that people have been writing off the back of this data over the last couple of days that there's kind of plenty for everyone. So there's, you know, I mean, and there are a lot of Australians in there, and a lot of Australian addresses, which is kind of interesting. There's 127 odd in Sydney, 50 odd in Melbourne, a few on the Gold Coast. I'm a bit disappointed there weren't more on the Gold Coast because it's a traditional kind of haven for, you know, shady characters in a sunny place.
You just wanted a trip to the Gold Coast to do some more work, didn't you?
Last time I went to the Gold Coast, I got written up in the Gold Coast Bulletin about how awful I was.
What did you do? Okay, that's another. Park that. But I'm so intrigued. So you've done a bit more digging about the Kwok brothers.
Yeah, so the Kwok brothers are two very, very rich men from Hong Kong. They are property developers mostly. They also own, on the basis of what's in the Panama Papers, Wilson Parking, which in turn owns Wilson Security, the company that provides the security services for the Manus Island and Nauru immigration detention camps, the most sensitive immigration contracts in Australia, I think it'd be fair to say. Mm. In 2012, both brothers were charged with corruption, bribing a Hong Kong official in what is really Hong Kong's biggest ever corruption case. One of them was found guilty, one of them was found not guilty. When they were charged, they hid their control of Wilson, it appears, on the evidence we can see, by using a series of offshore companies to step back a step from directly being visible as the directors of the company that owns the company in Australia, that owns Wilson Security, et cetera, et cetera. For the past month or so, the Immigration Department has been having a look at this, trying to figure out what to do about it. And I reached what I think is a really intriguing conclusion, which is that regardless of what we might see on the public record, they're satisfied that neither Kwok brother, the one in jail or the one who's at large running a large company in Hong Kong, controls Wilson Security or has any influence over it. I'm not quite sure how that's possible when you own the company, but I think what they're trying to say is that they don't have any control over the day-to-day operations at Manus Island and Nauru. So neither Kwok brother is sitting there pointing, saying to a guard, you should be standing over there or whatever. But that's been one of the kind of shakeouts that's happened as a result of this sort of massive dump of data. It has been fresh light shone on these kind of interesting offshore arrangements, not necessarily illegal, not necessarily even particularly unethical, but definitely interesting.
Definitely interesting. Ben Butler, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Ben Butler. He's the business reporter with the Australian newspaper.
Want to hear about the best party in town this election season? It's a new podcast with me, Frank Kelly.
And me, Patricia Carvelis.
The Party Room, your essential guide to this federal election. Subscribe now. Simply search for The Party Room in your podcast app.
Or listen via the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.